Even as we have given it to you, greeting the sheep might seem a bit strange this morning as we think of this particular parable, because it's the sower went forth to sow. We're acquainted with this particular parable, most of us, of the 8th chapter of Luke. And then not only do we have the parable, but we have the interpretation of the parable as our Lord gives it. And we want to go right to the interpretation this morning because of want of time. And we see that in the interpretation that the parable is, the seed is the word of God, as we have it in the 11th verse of this 8th chapter of Luke. The seed is the word of God. Now the word of God is that which God uses to reveal himself and his provision of salvation unto men. And then we have four things that unfold in the interpretation of this parable, and that is four, and I think we could easily say, classifications of the receptance of the Word of God and the result of that. And, of course, when the Word of God is received, that is received unto salvation, we discover then that these become sheep. That is, we become part of our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, fold, as we think of the sheep. And in this particular passage, we see a very clear grading of the sheep. Now, this is UP country. They raise beef cattle. They raise a considerable amount of sheep. And anyone that raises sheep knows something about the quality that he desires in his flock and caring for them and the attention given to them from the standpoint of developing the best flock of sheep that he can. And so we find that this becomes very interesting as we see God, in essence, or the parable, grading the sheep. Look with me at it, if you please. Now we have, again, the parable. The seed is the word of God. We give it forth, we preach it, and it does that which God wants it to do. It brings conviction. It draws men unto him. And yet we have a terrible adversary, that old serpent, the devil, that endeavors to cloak and hide the word of God and not permit it to be that which would spring forth into life. And remember this, when it springs forth into life, it is eternal life. Now, the 12th verse says this, These by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of the hearts, or their hearts, lest they should be believe and be saved. Let me read it to you again. These by the wayside, that is where the seed is sown by the wayside, are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now many a person has heard the word of God, and they have listened, shown some interest, and yet that old serpent, the devil, has been very clever and able to cloud their thinking, to keep them from perceiving and understanding. The Apostle Paul clearly depicts this in the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, for he says in the 3rd verse, if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And he's very busy trying, even here this morning, to thwart the purpose of God, to cloud the understanding of the Word of God for anyone that's here that is not saved. You say, well, I've tried to reach out to God. I am interested in this business of salvation. I do know that there's something terribly wrong in my life, and I would like so very much to be rightly related to God. And the devil is constantly at work trying to keep you from understanding the simplicity of the gospel, that you are a sinner and need a Savior, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to let go and let God become your salvation. And God is able to do that for you. Satan is there pitted against you. But as Christians, even here this morning, pray for you. And as you go, they continue to pray for you. God will be God, light will come, and you will grasp the truth of this. But yet, this is that which is always true. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now we have another classification, the 13th verse. They on the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and those have no root, for who for a while believe, and then in time of testing fall away. Now we, in our physical being, in our human rationalizing, are often quick to judge. We look at a person who made a sound profession, and we see him depart from the faith because of the testings, and he had a very shallow beginning from the standpoint of going on. He received the word with joy, and yet he had no root. And for a while he believed and seemed to be solid, and then a time of testing came, and he fell away. And we look, and we observe, and we say, surely that one is not saved. We need to be very careful, for we are not in the business of judging, or ought not to be. God told us not to. The spiritual reality of another person, God knows, and we commit it to God, and we leave it with God. But here we see one who is saved but nothing, saved by the skin of his teeth, if you please. And it has become a reality. This is a sad state indeed to be in. And yet I believe that there are many in the world today who have experienced God's salvation, but they may very well have departed from the church. They may have just pulled away, and the devil has overcome them like a flood. And yet there was a time when the seed was planted, it was received, it sprang up, and they with joy received it. And yet God did not mean it to be so. You may be here like that this morning. Then again, you may not be, for generally speaking, I believe these are those that have walked away from the church. They're in a very spiritual state of despondency, not at all victorious in Christ. A sad condition indeed, and they need much, much prayer. And we see another classification, the 14th verse. And that which fell among thorns, and they who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. I want to read it once again. Listen to it. I believe this is one that we really need to grasp, because I believe this with my whole heart. I believe that the vast majority of Christendom, yes, many seated right here this morning, are in this classification. You say, Pastor, that's pretty hard talk. Yes, it is. Sometimes the truth hurts. And yet we need to tell the truth with warmth and compassion. But we need to give the truth. Look at it again. And that which fell among thorns are they who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, beloved, examine your own heart. Think about it in the light of what God really wants for you. Think about it in the realm of what could be if we would just get the hoe out and hoe the garden. If we would go to work and let God lead us from failure to failure as he exposes spiritual deficiency in our life, that it might be removed from us and failure would become victory. That's what it's all about. Let me read it again. These are saved but robbed of the power, and they become the average churchgoer of today. They are they which fell among thorns, or that is which fell among thorns, and they who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now there is another planting, and that's the 15th verse. But that on the good ground are they who, in an honest and good heart, have heard the word, kept it, or keep it rather, present tense, and bring forth fruit with patience. prepared ground, complete and full, a bountiful harvest. This is what God wants of you and I. This is what is possible. I want to turn your attention back to Hosea, this small book of Hosea. If you have a New Scofield Bible, it's page 925. It follows Daniel, Ezekiel, and then Hosea, and it's the 12th verse of the 10th chapter. These words, sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You've plowed in wickedness, you've reaped iniquity, you've eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy ways in the multitude of mighty men. I know this is an Old Testament reference. I know this has its primary application to Israel. But beloved, this is also applicable to you and to me this morning. Once again, the 12th verse of the 10th chapter of Hosea. Sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. This is the spring of the year. The farmer understands that kind of language. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed in wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way. You know, one of the tragedies today, perhaps the greatest tragedy today in the Christian church among believers, and that is this. That we trust in ourselves. We do not go to God for everything. We make fleshly decisions. We think that we can work this out. After all, God's too busy to take care of all of these little things, and he creeps in like a flood. It's the little foxes that destroy the vines. And we need to awaken to the fact that this has been the error of our way, and year has followed year, and our problem has become larger and larger. And we need to awaken to the fact that this ought not to be. This need not be. God wants us to be the prime sheep of his pasture. He does not want us graded down into the lower level of barely belonging to his flock. But he wants us to be a prize winner. He wants us to be exalted in the heavenlies, as one who truly did what he wanted us to do and lived lives of righteousness. Once more, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You've plowed in wickedness, you've reaped in iniquity, and eaten the fruit of lies. Now, by and large, you did it innocently. You were not aware of what you were doing. For Satan is very clever. He knows how to deceive, and so subtly does he creep in, but we barely know what's taking place, until suddenly we wake up one day to the realization that I have no power with God. I am beaten about spiritually. Inside, I'm empty. I don't have any victory. I am frustrated and knocked about. Oh God, whatever happened to me? Beloved, this is what happened. You were slipped up on, unawares. You drew away from God and became independent and said, well, I can handle this myself. You went on and you did those things that the flesh is able to do. But it robbed you of all of the quality of spiritual triumph. And God says, now, awaken, my dear son, my dear daughter. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. He wants so very much to rain righteousness upon you. He wants so very much to make you healthy and well. Back in the Psalms, and we close with this. The second psalm. I want to begin at the 8th verse of the 2nd Psalm. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the nations for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now I know, in the primary sense, we're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to also know that as a redeemed son or daughter in the Lord Jesus Christ, that this is also for you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I in him, and he in me. The 9th verse, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Listen, beloved, that's power. That's the power of Christ. This will become a reality as we think of the primary interpretation and we think of his great victory as he comes back to earth to reign. But, beloved, there is a secondary application that's very, very real, needs to be understood. The same power is for you and for me right now to be victorious. No foe can stand against him. We are victorious in Christ. Appropriate it. Go on victoriously. Break up the fallow ground. The 10th verse, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they who put their trust in him. Oh, I like that verse. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way. We're not talking about losing one's salvation, but we're banished from all of the power with God that we ought to be. Or one of those sheep that doesn't amount to anything. He goes out into to market with little value at all. And God so wants us to be prime. He wants us so very much to be the very best. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they who put their trust in him. The Berkeley translation says, but oh, the joy of all who take refuge in him. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we've spoken so briefly about a subject that's so very, very deep and needs to be expounded upon. Yet, blessed God, by thy Spirit, drive home the truth of that which we've been speaking of. May we awaken to that wonderful reality that we need not be battered about and missing all of the feeding of the spiritual life only to be an outcast sheep that is of little value, but we are in your fold, and we have all of the provision for being the very healthiest of the sheep of your fold. And Lord God, I pray for these thy people, these dear people, that we might truly break up our fallow ground, and we might truly seek thy perfect will, and we would awaken to the reality that to act independently from thee, doing our own thing, creates multiplied problems. And that in the very least of decisions or involvements, that we might make no move, no decision, without seeking thy perfect will in it. Then walking by faith in all of the divine enablement of heaven, that we might find thy multiplied, immeasurable blessing upon us, we pray. If there's someone here this morning that's not saved, blessed God, I pray even now and would rebuke in the name of the Lord Jesus that old serpent, the devil, who would try to blind their eyes from the wonderful truth of your provision. And blessed Holy Spirit, reveal to them this morning that Jesus loves them, that he died for them, that they can come to him and he will receive them, and they can become part of his fold. sheep of thy pasture. And that they need not be sickly sheep, but that they can enter into the very best that heaven has to offer. O blessed God, grant it, for Jesus' sake we pray. Keep your heads bowed for a moment. I know the hour's late and we're going to close quickly. Is there one here this morning? And I know we have visitors. God has spoken to your heart this morning. You know you're not saved, and yet you know you need to be. Would you slip up your hand that I might pray for you? As a young lad, is there another? How about you, Mom or Dad? Would you slip up your hand that I might pray for you? Heavenly Father, three or four children raised their hand. We pray for them. Oh, Spirit of God, bring them through into the reality of trusting Jesus for salvation. And then for Mom and Dad that are here, oh, Spirit of God, awaken them, bring them in. And we who know Thee, oh God, work in our hearts to break up the fallow ground, to get out those tools, to get rid of that which You reveal to us, that we might walk by faith, trust Thee in every area of our life, and find Thy blessing upon us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnals, please. Turn to hymn number 340. Shall we stand as we sing?
Meditate upon that which You have spoken to us about this morning. we not be able to escape that area in our own lives that needs to be worked with. May we become very honest with thee. May we not be able to detour from it. And by the wonder-working power of thy Spirit, do that which needs to be done, we pray. Get glory to thy name. All may Christ be seen. Do a work in our hearts for Jesus' sake. We pray.